Good evening, everyone, and welcome to week four of the 12th-week Unleash Interactive Behind the Book conference call with your author, yours truly, Michael Dear. This week we'll be going into chapter three. I believe I said it's week three. And we'll be starting with the topic or thought, what is the divine flow? And I must share with you a brief disclaimer that throughout the book, you'll hear me refer to the divine flow as many things. And it's just because this concept that came through Revelation is so vast, it's so all-encompassing, that it's sometimes, even as the author, hard to truly define what the divine flow is. But chapter 3 gives us a great deal of insight, and we kind of nailed down a single specific definition for what the divine flow is. So we'll get started. Somewhere right now, something amazing is happening. Somewhere there is a mighty life-changing move of God's Spirit. It's happening right now. As we are dialed into this line, someone is being visited by God's comforting love. Someone is being given keen spiritual awareness and earth-shattering power. And sometimes we ask the question, well, if that's happening somewhere in the world, why isn't it happening where I am? Or some would ask, where is my visitation? Or why doesn't God do that for me? And then we answer that question in different ways. But in our answering, we have to look at whether it's an issue with God or if it's an issue with something that we might not be doing. And in my experience, I realize more times out of 10, it's really something that we're not doing that inhibits or holds up or hinders God's power, grace, and his flow that wants to flood our lives with his goodness. And so in chapter 3, we start chapter 3 by sharing a personal experience explaining how God's divine flow works. And the story begins with my father, Mr. Brenton Dear, who's been a plumber for over 14 years, 28 right now, but over 14 years at the time the story takes place. And it's the narrative that begins chapter 3. And one day he tells me to operate the faucet on the bathroom sink as he's fixing it. His head is underneath the sink, close to the hot water pipe, and a mother in the background saying, stay there with your father and learn what he's doing so that when you get older, he can do it too. So that you can do it too, excuse me. And as he was tinkering underneath the bathroom sink, he told me to turn on the faucet. I turned it on, and remember, I was a kid at this time, and up until that time, when you turn on the faucet, water comes out. When you turn it off, water stops. But this time, he did something underneath the sink, and when I turned on the water, nothing came out. And I jumped back because I thought to myself, my father is a magician because he's controlling the flow of water. I didn't realize until later when he told me that it was just using a tool called a valve that restricts or allows the flow of water to pass through the valve. And the Lord brought me back to that example, that real-life situation and story that I lived through to insightfully drop a revelation in my life and in my mind about how this quote-unquote divine flow works. Somewhere around the world, God is flowing powerfully. And his same power exists in full saturation in New York City, in Queens, where most of us are right now. But what limits God's power or ability to flow in our life is not his own hand, but it's the valves that we have in our own mind, in our own spirit, that we have unknowingly closed off to the things of God, unknowingly limited the flow of God in our lives. And what the book, the whole book, is really a negotiation of sorts, trying to share with everyone who reads all of the areas that we need to just open up to the Lord in order to have the power to do exploits or great things. And I also explain that while if you follow me to page 21, where I begin to interpret the story, and really you just need to read the story so that you can get all the meat. It'll really help you out. It'll really bless you. But on page 21 in paragraph 2, I share the good news. The bad news is that unfortunately we've been in different areas of our lives closing off the valves to the Lord, whether we know it or not. But the good news is that even though the valves might be closed, the moment you make a decision to open that valve to the Lord, whether it be the valve of your creativity, the valve of your imagination, the valve of your revelation and inspiration, the moment you open that valve, God has been pressurized and his power has been pressurized since the day your valve was closed. So the moment you decide to open up to the Lord, everything that was held up will begin to flow into your life. And you know what I call that? I call that a life change. You know what I call that? I call that a refreshing of your season, or a refreshing of your outlook, and a refreshing of your life. So God wants you to open the valves that were once closed to him. If you follow me to page 22, I share with you the benefits of tapping into God's divine flow. This is what you can benefit from. This is how you can benefit from being in the divine flow and tapping into to God's stream that's flowing even now. You can be in the know about what God is doing, whether it's being current, always on the cutting edge of the move of God. And in paragraph 1, I read, "Wouldn't you like to be notified by memo anytime God decides to perform mightily in your city? Wouldn't you like to be in the know for what God is doing in his church?" And those are just two of the different benefits that you can have when you tap into God's divine flow. And we've seen individuals who are on the cutting edge of the next move of God, and we see how exuberant their lives are. We see how much their life exemplifies leadership because they're current with the Lord and they're not following anyone else's example, but they are creating a path for others to walk on. And it's because they have found their way of tapping into God's divine flow. On page 23, paragraph 2, I share a very audacious statement and thesis of the book. I share that the divine flow, tapping into the divine flow, is a level beyond the surrender and infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I know there are some people who might say, "Well, Pastor, be careful here, you know, because you're trotting on thin ice." But I explain using various scriptures, when you accept the Lord Jesus, it's as if you're enlisting in the army. Now, when you enlist in the army, you're not quite a soldier. The drill sergeant have a special name for you, and you know, some of them call you maggots or, you know, sissies or what have you. And it's a very mocking name to get you in the zone to make sure that you know who you're supposed to be mad at, and how to channel your energy while you're going through boot camp. But it's only when you come through boot camp that you are called and given the distinction of a soldier. So accepting Christ is like your enlistment into the army. Then infilling of the Holy Spirit is your passing through boot camp to become a soldier. The problem is some people get comfortable just being called a soldier. They just want to have the distinction of Christian. They just want to have the distinction of being a churchgoer. But you see, tapping into the divine flow is like going beyond the call of duty to become more than just a soldier. You endeavor, you make the sacrifices, you're determined and persistent to become more than just a soldier. You want to become a naval SEAL, a Navy SEAL, a Green Beret, or a Special Forces Black Ops team. And that's kind of what tapping into the divine flow is all about. It's all about going beyond the call of duty of being a regular Christian to do something amazing, life-changing, and I share in the book, head-turning in chapter, page 23 and paragraph 3, I share that God wants you to do world-class, life-changing, head-turning exploits for him. And so accepting Christ is like joining the military, accepting the Holy Ghost and being filled with his power is like passing boot camp. And then when you decide, after you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, to go a little deeper, then you enlist yourself in the Navy SEAL program to become a Special Forces officer for the Lord. Why? Because God will make, he will give you the power once you make the sacrifice to access his divine flow. And if you look down at paragraph 4, you will see what the divine flow is. So like I said before, people wonder, what is the divine flow? Here it is. This is the answer. The divine flow, according to paragraph 4, is nothing more than a sweet spot in God where the individual maximizes their efforts, augments their own abilities, expresses the kingdom of God on earth, and prepares to do exploits or great things for God in whatever dimension, industry, marketplace they occupy. And that's it. The divine flow is a spiritual sweet spot where everything becomes possible. And I explain further on page 24 and the paragraph 1 using an example from a superstar basketball legend, Michael Jordan. He said, you know, there are sometimes, in an interview he shared, that there are sometimes on the court in certain places or times where he's just so in the zone that the basketball hoop seems like it's 4 foot wide. And that simply means that he can't miss a ball. There's sometimes when he feels like there is no way he can miss because he's in the zone. And being in the divine flow is being in a place with God and being in the flow with God where anything is possible and all problems can be solved, and you have the complete nourishment of heaven to give you the solution, the power, the grace for anything that you will face. Page 25, I go on to share that the divine flow is not for you alone, but the divine flow is designed to overflow. And I read, as water reaches the brim of the sink, it overflows, pouring into the life, pouring on the floor of the room. Your life will also begin to pour into others. Your influence will grow, and others will respect and follow your, and I make a list of qualities, passion, vision, clarity, your originality. God doesn't want you to be a carbon copy. Insight, having the ability to see beyond what is seen. Courage, how many of us need a little more courage to face our fears and disobey them? Intuition, you know, sometimes we do things so mechanically because they are rote or they are done to the law or to the letter. But when you have intuition, you do things so naturally, so gracefully, and so freely. Your teaching ability. Not only will you have the ability to do great things, but even more meaningful is the power to teach it to others. And your faith, having full persuasion in something that is bigger than you. On page 26, someone might ask, well, Pastor, that's great, but where does holiness and fasting come into the story? If you're going to get closer to God, well, surely you need to fast and surely you need to be holy, right? And absolutely, you're right. You're completely right, and I agree with you. And I share in this sub chapter, hey, what about holiness and fasting? That holiness and fasting are definitely parts of the process of tapping into the divine flow, but it wasn't the scope of this book, because there are copious books out there that teach you about holiness and fasting. But I did share something on page 28 in paragraph 1, where in my own life, I received a breakthrough when I finally searched God for myself and searched the scriptures to find out what is this thing holiness. Because up until this point, people considered holiness a group of acts and a group of laws that you hold yourself to. But when I read the Word of God, and I read in 1 John 3 and 2, again, that scripture is 1 John 3 and 2, I found that holiness is not an action. It's a decision. It's a decision to do right at every junction and crossroad that you're at. And so I go on to share how holiness and fasting play into it, and how we ought not to get trapped up in the legalistic doing or repeating of rituals in order to think that we're holy, but really to tap in to God and receive the power to be holy. And in verse page 31, paragraph 1, I share, like Matthew said, there is no reward in heaven if you receive your reward of men by acting holy in the marketplaces or in public display. And I share, which is one of our ministry's pillars, Elder Dietrich Blunt. He has a favorite part in this book. His favorite area in this book is on page 31, where he says, where the book writes, that when you don't make spiritual deposits and you're taking out those spiritual deposits by making earthly displays and having your reward on earth, then when you try to withdraw from heaven, you will reap insufficient funds. And that's because you've been getting your reward on earth rather than storing them up in heaven. Thank you, and this ends the insight section of the Unleashed conference call. We will open the floor up for questions, for comments.